Hello and welcome to the first NAFcast of 2015. And as is traditional at these times, I should say that all the views in this podcast are those of myself and do not represent NAF policy of a whole and do not represent the views of the NAF committee. It's just me talking. I'm here by myself today, but I will be joined by a very special guest in the form of Nate Beam, the NAF tournament director. It's an interesting one. The reason I'm by myself, the original idea was to get a co-host every now and again, but I do tend to find that if people want to leave the house to play silly games, or in fact to talk about silly games, then they do like to play those games. And there are quite a lot of people for whom gaming time is at a premium. And so being able to leave the house at the same time as someone else and go off to play games can be tricky. And so so this is why I'm by myself, because it's because people like to use their time to play games rather than talk about them. Whereas I can do this sitting by myself and just reviewing all the news from the world of Blood Bowl, which is what's going to happen today. We will, however, have a about 20-minute interview with Nate, in which we talk about the rules for the World Cup that have just been released. We talk about the tournament series document. And then we did have a little bit of a chinwag about the business of being tournament director as well, but the Skype technology let us down at that point, and that's lost to the mists of time. So you can imagine how eloquent and wonderful that section was, but you won't get to hear it, sadly. So I think I'm going to do this one chronologically. Since the last NAFcast, which is the beginning of December, we've had Christmas, which is lovely. So Happy New Year to everyone. Just before Christmas, I got into looking at OBBLM a little bit, which is the online Blood Bowl League Manager. Cake Bowl, which is my local league, Wiltshire's Blood Bowl League, has been using OBBLM for about 5 years. It's pretty much since its conception. We started off using the OBBLM software that was hosted by a website called stuntyleague.com, and then we installed the software for ourselves because we had a resident IT bod in the form of Xenolith, who's a brilliant at this sort of thing. And sorted that all out. So we ported our league over to our own web space. There were various people asking about OBBLM, including Jim Luft, who is the owner of bloodbowlblog.com. And he was looking into setting OBBLM up for himself and then started asking some questions, which then got me thinking about how the NAF could help people set up OBBLM for themselves. I asked the question on the Blood Bowl Facebook community page, other way around, the Facebook Blood Bowl community page, and there were various people who said that they were interested in using OBBLM, but had been put off by how tricky they thought it was to set up. This was a little bit surprising, because I have seen it sort of in action, and actually setting it up is not that difficult, although you do need to have the web space, and there are certain aspects of the web space that you need to have in place in order to be able to install OBBLM. That said, however, the makers of OBBLM do make it as easy as possible, because there is a website, mercuryvps.com, who for $5 a year, that's right, $5 a year, five American dollars a year, you can get your own web space, and it comes with OBBLM already installed. And if you go for that option, it's actually really straightforward to get OBBLM working pretty well for you. But we can make it simpler, I thought. And so you can now just ask for your league to get hosted at thenaf.obblm.com. And that way you don't actually need to do any coding at all for yourself. So far we've got one league on there. We've got a Danish league. And before Christmas, there were five or six leagues who actually said if there was no coding involved, then they would be more interested in hosting their league online, which is what the NAF is for, really, is there to help people out. So the NAF is covering that $5 a year for, and then we can have as many leagues on there as we want to. And the idea is that once people see that OBBLM is a pretty good software to use, then they'll look into getting it set up for themselves. And of course, the NAF will support them completely with that. You can now get full details about OBBLM by going to thenaf.net. There is a little search box on there, and if you type OBBLM into the search box, it'll get you there straight away. What I've detailed on there is the sort of the simplest way of getting onto OBBLM, which is have it hosted by the NAF. And also there is a step-by-step guide for getting your league hosted by Mercury VPS. The advantage of doing that is that you can have it customized as much as you want. You can have your own banner at the top, and you can choose exactly what information goes on the homepage, which makes things a bit easier, just a bit nicer for you. The self-installing of OBBLM, which is the next step if you have your own web space already in existence and your own website and all that jazz going, that's going to be covered by bloodbowlblog.com slightly later, and Jim's writing that at the moment. Running a league was actually one of the segments, without wishing to spoil it too much. I assume that anyone who was going to has already listened. But one of the segments in the Both Down Christmas special, which I thoroughly enjoyed, was an interview with Extreme about what he's doing in Blood Bowl at the moment. So that was quite good. This is me on a podcast talking about another podcast in which they interviewed a host of yet another Blood Bowl podcast. So it's all very internecine and nepotistic, I expect. But it was actually a really good interview, and he was talking about how he was involved in a league now, and it's the first league since the first ever league that he was in. It's the first league that he hasn't been running, and he's quite entertaining in talking about how he just has to let the whole thing go and sometimes just bite his lip, and that's certainly something that a lot of experienced Blood Bowlers do find. I think when they go to a tournament, basically the whole situation with Blood Bowl, and it actually explicitly says it in the tournament rules, is that if you are the commissioner or if you are running a tournament, your house, your rules, anything goes as long as you say so. And that can be quite difficult sometimes for people to take, but it's the nature of the beast. It's what you signed up to. And that's quite a fun little thing. So I would certainly recommend heading over to the Both Down guys for their Christmas special. I think they had two Christmas specials, which might make things confusing. But this is the second one, pretty sure. Definitely worth a listen. Speaking of running a league, that is one of the articles on the Grotty Little Newspaper, or the GLN. The GLN is the resident house newspaper for Fumble, the online Blood Bowl website. It's actually been dormant for a couple of years, but a user on there called Cam decided to grab the bull by the horns and ask for contributions to bring the GLN back to life. He got a fair few, and just before Christmas he spent a happy few days, I think, dragging the whole thing together and making it look rather pretty. It's not just for users of Fumble, it's because a lot of the stuff in there is applicable to real-life Blood Bowl as well. Although the actual bit of running a Blood Bowl league is a little bit different for remote people who you don't necessarily know at all, and your mates who you're trying to cajole and press to get their games played. I was the commissioner of Cake Bowl for about six seasons. It went pretty smoothly, to be honest, that we didn't have any troublemakers that we had to kick out of the league, although I do hear about some leagues where there are people who behave badly, but I guess we're a fairly friendly bunch in Wiltshire, and so there were no problems with that. But online leagues certainly, I think, do have problems with people dropping out and people being less friendly across the interwebs than they might be in real life, possibly. In terms of other content that's in the GLN, you've actually got an interview with Neo Liminal in there. And Neo Liminal was, I think, the first president of the NAF. He actually set up the NAF along with a group of others, including Jervis Johnson and Krista as well. And so that's a really good read. And that's an interview with him done by Garion, who quite a lot of people know from online forums and so on. I've written a little bit in there about peace and goodwill to all men, which is just a sort of positive approach to Blood Bowl and my take on how we should appreciate the game for what it is, rather than having a moan about Clawpom and things like that. Then we've got a little bit about beta testing the new tool on there, and some other stuff. There's some really good, useful bits about making your own logo Which again can apply to real life Blood Bowl, especially if you are using something like OBBLM. It tells you about how to use GIMP, which is the free version of Photoshop, and tells you how to bring stuff together in terms of text and images you found from the internet, and bring it all together and make a nice logo, which OBBLM allows you to put on your team, and then it appears on your team sheet. So that applies to real life Blood Bowl and online Blood Bowl as well. I think it's possible on Cyanide, if you know what you're doing, it's also possible to get your logo showing on your team on Cyanide as well. Although you'll only be able to have sort of one logo per race, as far as I can understand, and only you'll be able to see it. So slightly less useful, but still fun if you like doing that sort of thing. And of course, lots of people play on Cyanide Blood Bowl leagues, where they have their own pictures in their signatures and things like that. So lots of good stuff there, and it's nicely written and fairly idiot-proof, I reckon. As well as that, we have the next stage of the Road to the NAF Championships. So there has been a new announcement about the timescales and so on. We talked about this in a previous occasion. It's very exciting. This is the tournament online on Fumble, where you can win a ticket to the tabletop NAF Championships in May in Nottingham in the UK, which is worth £55, so not to be sniffed at, certainly. It's probably the biggest prize in online Blood Bowl. Biggest value prize, I suppose. Not biggest necessarily by prestige. There are some very prestigious ones around, I'm sure. But basically, if we could do a quick summary of what the latest information was. Tournament is planned to begin on the January the 12th, 2015, which is pretty soon, assuming this goes out this week, that it's Monday of next week. So we're very much the last stages of people implementing the necessary changes to the software in order to be able to create teams for that and then play games for that tournament. So do keep your eye on Fumble for that. That's going to break any moment now. There's going to be six rounds of Swiss. It's basically going to mirror the format of the NAF Championships. And each round is going to last a week, so you've got Monday until Monday to play your game. It'll be the same rules as was said previously. It's going to be the same rules as the NAF Championships. So that's three normal skills at the beginning of game one, and then two normal skills and a double at the beginning of game four. It's going to be an 1100 team build. In terms of the RTT NAFC, the Road to the NAF Championships, that's pretty much all the rules. Oh yeah, there is going to be a Stunty Cup as well, which is pretty cool. There's going to be a Stunty Cup for the online championship as well. So the point system is going to be 2 points for a win, 1 point for a tie, 0 points for a loss, and then minus 5 points for a forfeit or concession. And then as per the NAF Championship, the Swiss tiebreaker is going to be opponent score, first of all, which is also known as strength of schedule. And then the tiebreakers will be net touchdowns, net casualties, touchdown scored, casualty inflicted, and then random at the end. So you'll have a week to play your games. This is a brilliant sort of opportunity for people to both get into tabletop gaming, but also to get into Fumble as a way of practicing your Blood Bowl ready for those tabletop tournaments. It's actually probably, I think, going to be, without being too sort of too much hyperbole in there, I think it is going to be a little bit of a revolution in the way that online gaming happens. This is something that people have been looking for sort of a very long time, is a way of simulating the tabletop tournament scene in an online setting, because lots and lots of competitive Blood Bowl is not played in a league setting. Lots and lots of competitive Blood Bowl is played in a non-progression, it's played in a resurrection kind of way with the same team for six games in a row, and not being able to practice that online has been a bit of a gap in the Blood Bowl market for a long time, which hopefully this is going to be well and truly plugged. And the Road to NAF Championship is just the first in a series of NAF tournaments that are going to be hosted in this way, and it's going to be absolutely brilliant. There is already a lot of excitement going on the Fumble forums about it, with lots of people who have obviously never played a tabletop tournament before. Not saying that because they're coming up with crazy stupid ideas, but they are certainly coming up with crazy ideas and taking a new approach to team building. Lots and lots of stars appearing in possible tournament builds, and lots of speculation about which about which races are best. There is general consensus in the NAF tournament scene that undead, wood elves, lizardmen are the top three teams. And then there is a bit of a melee underneath that for the next sort of five or six top best ones out of the tier one teams. And it'll be interesting to see if there's any difference from that, from these ones. And the addition of the Stunty Cup for the online, although there's no cash prize for the Stunty Cup, there is certainly going to be an amount of prestige, and I'm certainly going to be entering some goblins, I think, in the Road to NAF Championships. But obviously, if you have any questions, head over to the Fumble Forum or head over to Twitter at Official NAF or the Facebook Official NAF page. Lots of questions will be asked there and answered there as well. There's also a thread on TFF about it. And to be honest, if you go to the Facebook or Twitter pages, you'll probably be directed to TFF or the NAF forum or to Fumble itself anyway. So might be best to cut out the middleman and head straight to Mr. Purple Goo himself for any questions you might have. At this point, I'm going to introduce the interview with Gaicho, who is Nate Beam, who is the NAF tournament director. We caught up over Skype once I got the technology going, although it did die at some point toward the end. So I should warn you, the interview does finish slightly abruptly, but hopefully you'll enjoy it anyway. Okay, so I'm here today with Nate Beam, who's the NAF tournament director, goes under the name of Gaicho on the NAF username. So on TFF and the NAF forums and everywhere, you'll see him as that. Hello, Nate.
Hi, Mike. Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to have you. Hopefully the recording will work all smoothly, and then and everyone will have a nice nice listen. So the reason we're talking today, we've got actually a few documents to talk over. This is the day that the World Cup rules were released for right. The World Cup starting in November. First up, I didn't ask you this before, are you going to be going to the World Cup?
I am. I don't know in what capacity. I've been trying to rally a team from the east coast of the United States here.
Okay. Whereabouts are you?
I'm in Virginia, Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll have a Virginia team, but I'm trying to gather enough people from, Pennsylvania and maybe the Midwest if we have to go that far. But it's, as you can imagine, it's a lengthy and expensive trip for us over here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's, but I think it's worthwhile. A lot of people do seem excited about it. So.
Yeah, it would be impressive dedication for anyone who made the trip. But hopefully there'll be a few.
I think there'll be two or three American teams, or teams from the United States, I should say, and one or two from Canada as well.
Okay, superb. So having a look at the World Cup rules document, can you summarize any changes from 4 years ago that people might not be familiar with?
Sure. The we've made is that we're breaking the teams into tiers, as most European tournaments do now.
Okay.
So that players that play the lesser teams, or the teams that are, considered to be less competitive, will receive more skills.
Absolutely. So looking at the tiers, so we've got tier one is Amazon, Chaos Dwarf, Dark Elf, Dwarf, Lizardman, Norse, Orc, Skaven, Undead, and Wood Elf. Can't really argue with any of those. And then tier three is Halfling, Goblin, Ogre, and Underworld. Oh, and Vampire is in tier three as well.
Yes, which there are a few that were on the edge. I think Norse and Necromantic were both considered to be on the edge, on the bubble for tiers one and two.
Yep.
And Vampires were, were debated to some extent, but they do tend to suffer, I find, in these sort of tournaments. So. We move them down to the bottom tier.
Okay, so in terms of the skills, what's the difference between tier one and tier two, and then tier two and tier three?
Well, the only difference is in the day one skills.
Okay.
And on day one, the top tier teams only get three regular skills.
Yep.
The second tier, middle tier teams, get four regular skills and a double skill.
So the difference between 1 and 2 is an extra regular skill and an extra double on day 1.
Correct.
Okay. And then any difference between Tier 2 and Tier 3?
Yes, Tier 3 have access to inducements to some extent. They have access to bribes, to halfling master chefs, and to star players. Because obviously it's a rough go for halflings, even if they have the master chef, but without it, they're in a lot of trouble.
I see. Okay, cool. Fantastic. Oh, so star players as well.
Right. Because Deeproot and the vampires can get along with Wilhelm. He helps them quite a bit, I've found. So there are a few options in there for those guys. Bring extra secret weapons for the goblins or what have you.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know. I haven't looked at the stats for the last World Cup. I think there were a few goblin teams in there and a few ogre teams, but certainly not that many. There was a huge amount of tier one stuff, wasn't there?
Right. That was the issue for me is that, you know, I think four or five teams accounted for more than a third of the field. And to me, that's not representative of the game as a whole. I mean, certain people, they love to play those lesser teams, and I don't see why they should have to forego that at the World Cup.
It's really interesting that people do seem to take the World Cup sort of more seriously, because obviously when you go to a tournament, you take a Tier 2 or a Tier 3 team. You don't necessarily expect to win the tournament, and lots of people still do that, whereas as soon as it becomes a World Cup, people seem to abandon that slightly and actually sort of go for the win more often.
Yeah. Well, being a team tournament, I would assume Euro Bowl is similar.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Euro Bowl. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So pretty much six of the teams in each Euro Bowl team came from like the top six, and then there were a few extras. There are quite a lot of human teams this time round, and then some quirky ones, some slam made an appearance and things like that, but the main ones were the core. So it'll be interesting to see if that does spread things out a bit. I think definitely halflings and goblins will appear more often, and the humans, I would guess, as well, actually, now, because humans were the ones that got the big boost in Euro Bowl. And yeah. I see that's they're a tier two team in this as well.
Well, I hope so. I think that thing where you don't want to let your teammates down.
No.
You know? I think this makes it a little bit easier to bring your favorite team instead of feeling that you have to, you know, keep your team strong by bringing wood elves or what have you.
Was there much much debate about the rules, about tiering and so on?
Oh, yeah. I actually had a much much more stringent rule set that I proposed, and I was talked down from that. I was going to – I wanted to force people – to bring, I had an allowance system where if a team was bringing a tier one team, they must also bring a tier three team.
Right.
And that wasn't received very warmly, but I understand why. Cause I guess it goes both ways. Like if somebody's favorite team is orcs, let them bring the orcs. You know, this system allows, you know, both types of player to enjoy themselves and remain relatively competitive.
Yeah. No, fair enough. I think it does seem to have come quite a good compromise. So there is definitely a boost. Those two extra skills for tier two, that, I think there will be quite a few of those appearing. And then the fun ones for tier three, those inducements is good as well. Yeah. So if we look at the points scoring, so it's just straightforward. So you get a team score, which is 1 point for a win, half point for a draw, and no points for a loss. And so you've got a team of six, yeah?
Okay.
So if you've got four wins and a draw, that would be 4.5 points and no bonuses or anything for that.
Right.
And then there's the individual one where it's three for a win and one for a draw. And that just decides your ranking within the team. Is that right?
Well, there are individual awards, is my understanding, as well.
Yeah, but during the tournament, your team has a position.
Right.
And then the individual points just decide where you are in that team.
Individual rankings, you're right. They arrange you within your team to decide who you want to be paired against.
Excellent. So, yes.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I've never played in a team tournament of any sort. So I'm, we'll see how.
Yeah.
I think we're trying to get one going locally, but obviously it won't be at this scale.
No, it is a particular, it does give an extra edge to it when you've got these matching t-shirts and you're sitting like across from the other team and there's a certain amount of support going on because it can be, seem as, I don't know, possibly poor sportsmanship to cheer a particular player, even if you're like supporting your mate or something. You don't want to cheer too loudly for your mate if they're just playing, in a random tournament.
Right.
But when it's a team, you can definitely cheer lots and commiserate when the dice go badly.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to experiencing that aspect of it, perhaps, as much as anything else.
Absolutely. I was just thinking, is the cost been published yet for the World Cup? I'm just trying to think now.
I don't believe so. It's, I think it's been stated somewhere, but it's not in the document.
Yeah. So there'll be sort of additional information coming out later. Yeah, there's going to be a website.
Right. There's a website which isn't live yet, which is being created by the Italian organizers. And the idea was that as far as lodging and pricing and any special deals that might be included with the ticket price, we wanted them to be able to post those as they came up instead of having to filter them through us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be controlled directly by them on the World Cup website, which is included, the address for which is included in this document that we're discussing, but is not yet live.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And will people register like through that website as well?
Right. That's my understanding. And I believe you have to register with your team in full.
Yep.
And there's also going to be individual registrations, is what I'm told. And then those teams are just going to be formed by the organizers, I guess, out of the sort of leftover players so they can still participate if they don't come up with the team.
Oh, okay. Because there's no limit this time around, is there, on number of attendees?
Right. I mean, I assume there's some kind of practical limit, but probably nothing that we're going to reach.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. Because I know there were a few people disappointed last time. Because there was a sort of a poll, a lottery for whether your team got in or not, because there was a limit on the venue size.
Right, I remember hearing about that, and that's kind of interesting in its own way, I guess, trying to make the cut. But I think being more inclusive will be better.
Yeah, absolutely. If it's possible, that's superb. What about prizes and things? They're not in there yet, are they? No.
No, they're not.
So things like, best painted, I guess, there'll be things
there'll
like
be
that.
Yeah, there'll be a painting competition and all that, but it's...
Yeah, it's tricky to get everything in place to start with, isn't it? But I think the rules is a good thing to have there, because there are lots of people who will want to experiment with different builds.
Right, that was the idea, is that people could begin planning their rosters, but also, discussing which teams they wanted to take with their teammates and that sort of.
And then once they've decided on a race, they can take it to a few tournaments, hopefully, and see how it goes with that.
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm bringing, actually. I don't know. It's a hard decision.
Yeah. And you've had the rules for a while, so you could have been thinking about it. And we got an introduction from Jervis Johnson in there as well. That's quite nice.
Yeah, it was exciting. I got to copy and paste.
I wonder if he'll show up, because he does come to the NAF World Cup. No, sorry, the NAF Championships. He shows up for the last.
Yeah,
few
he
hours.
Has been invited. I guess he has a number of friends in Italy, and he's thinking it over, I'm told.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Excellent. So when new stuff comes out, it's being put on TFF. It's being put on the NAF forum, and then it'll appear on the website as well.
Right.
That'll be brilliant. Anything else to say on the World Cup, do you think?
No, I don't think so. Just hope that
I hope that everyone tries their hardest to make it. I know I've spoken with a few people in the States that are, you know, they're put off by the expense, which is understandable, but
yep.
You really do have to think that it's something, you know, every 4 years you can budget for it and tell your spouse that
this is what's happening.
It can be prorated over 4 years.
So what's the, if people want to get involved in the US team, what's the best forum for that? Is it through the Zlurp forum? Is that the best place to find people?
I think so. I would cast a wide net though. If you're looking for people, I would probably post on TFF, on the Talk Fantasy Football forum, and on the NAF forum as well. I would, you know, if you're desperate for team members, I would turn over every stone, as it were.
Yeah. Well, the what's interesting is the growth of the Facebook community as well. Recently, the Facebook event for the NAF World Cup has got 250 people going to it already. 276, in fact. I'm just looking at it just now.
Oh, that's great.
People have said that they're going, which is superb. I think Facebook is being used quite a lot more to communicate about Blood Bowl, which is
it's been a bit revolutionary. I kind of tried to stay away from Facebook for so long, and then I joined it strictly to promote Blood Bowl tournaments, and it's been a great service in that. You really reach a little bit of a different crowd, you know, instead of just advertising the same old places.
Yeah, absolutely.
The game jobs, so on over and over.
Yeah. Which tournaments do you which is your main tournament you organize?
The Atlantic Coast Charity Cup is my big one.
Okay.
It's a 1 day charity tournament and usually takes place in June or July. It's gonna be June this year. It benefits the Wounded Warrior Project, so we get a lot of people that turn out. For a lot of people, it's their only tournament they attend all year.
Right. Okay.
But I run, you know, a lot of smaller ones as well. We're pretty active. We have maybe a dozen in Virginia now every year. So.
Yeah.
Pretty active for the state.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When's my next tournament? And beginning of February, I'm going to one. We got one up in Manchester, so that's the furthest one I go to at the moment. So that's 3 hours away.
We're having near the end of this month on the 24th. We're having one in a local brewery.
In the local brewery.
Yes. So you know, we have kind of rules where the players are getting progressively drunker throughout the tournament and lose skills as the rounds go on.
Ah, yes.
I think it promises to be a pretty good time, kind of a raucous event, I would suspect.
That is quite a nice rule set, actually. The old, I think there is one in the UK that does that as well for another fluff reason. you lose. It might be almost a 24-hour one, or actually it might be a longer one where just to make life easier for the people to remember as you go through, you lose skills.
Right. Well, that was my thinking as well. I figured as the night goes on, people might be having trouble keeping track of their own team.
Excellent. Okay, well, if we move on a little bit, the other document that the NAF's been published, it's been a bit busy, isn't it, is the NAF Tournament Series. And this is sort of putting the official stamp, I suppose.
Right. There have, you know, been a number of Grand Prix or Tournament Series or whatever they're called, Championship Series, throughout the years, but it seemed that most of them had trouble sustaining themselves, and people complained that the rules could be a bit haphazard as far as getting results reported and that sort of thing. And I don't want to say that as a blanket statement. I know that the Southwest Tournament Championship in the UK has been doing very well.
Yep.
And they have a very large tournament series in Italy.
Yep.
So, I mean, there have been some success stories, but I know there have been others that died out. We had one in North America. We had basically split the continent into three series, and every one of those died out. So I thought that if we created a little bit of stewardship and guidance for the program, as well as some light prize support.
Do you want to explain briefly what a tournament series is then, just starting at the beginning?
Right. A tournament series is a connected series of tournaments in which points are accumulated throughout a certain time period, usually a year, so that it's kind of a meta competition containing lesser competitions, which are the tournaments. That's probably not the best explanation I can
So it's giving points for how well you do in the different tournaments. So it's like the Grand Prix, I guess, isn't it?
Exactly.
Motor racing. 10 right. points for a win and so on. So it's got we're calling it a structured tournament series? Oh, no, two types, structured or open, is that right?
Right. Well, what we found was that the standard in Europe and the standard in the Americas was quite a bit different. In Europe, they would usually state every tournament in the series at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So people knew exactly what they were getting into. And it would also be a system where you just would take the average of a certain number of scores, the top three scores throughout the year, for instance, for each person.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Whereas in America, any tournament that sprung up within a geographic area that we'd laid out would be counted.
Yeah.
So, because I think our scene is a little bit more haphazard. You know, first-time organizers kind of spring up and want to run something and barely get it in, get it sanctioned in time, and that kind of thing. And in the American-style series, which we're calling Open Tournament Series,
mm-hmm.
you get points for each and every tournament.
So to summarize what we were saying about the tournament series, there's two distinct types. There's the kind of a European, was what he was getting at, type of tournament series in which there are specific tournaments that are included in it, and that's stated at the beginning of the year. It will include this tournament. And then there's the American style one, for want of a better word, where you can any tournament that crops up in that area is then included in the tournament series. And if you want to find out more about that, head over to thenaf.net and you can always search for tournament series. During that interview, we did have a good chat about the World Cup rules, and Nate emailed me afterwards because he did want to make it clear there is actually another difference between Tier 1 and Tier 2 teams, in that a Tier 2 team on the third day is allowed to stack a skill onto a player who's already received a double skill. So that's the difference between Tier 1 and Tier 2, and that's the same for Tier 2 and Tier 3. So as well as getting the extra skill and the extra double skill on day one, Tier 2 teams are also allowed to stack a skill on top of someone who's already had a double skill, whereas Tier 1 teams are only allowed to stack on top of a player who hasn't had that double skill that they get on day two. And then Tier 3 teams do get those inducements. It's been pointed out on a couple of forums that this might lead to a claw pom team or two by day three, but this is why the rules are being announced nice and early, so that we can have a good fun time, a team building to our heart's content, and before having to decide on the final thing in November. So the NAF World Cup website will be available soon, and be sure to keep your eye on the NAF Facebook page. It's the best place to get announcements for that. If you're not on Facebook, then of course you can head to the TFF forum, the NAF forum, and the Twitter account, anywhere like that, and it will be announced and spammed across the internet. So don't worry, you will not be missing out. So thank you very much to Nate for his interview. Apologies to him for losing. We had about 10-15 minutes of nice chat after that about the vagaries of being a tournament director for the NAF and how it involves quite a bit of sorting out the database when people make mistakes on that one. And then the joy that is the monthly committee meetings held over Skype, as people are all over the world. And as I discovered in our about five-part interview, as it turned out, Skype does this have its own little quirks, and that's only with two people on the line. With six or seven people on the line, I can imagine it being a bit tricky, but it is free, so don't like to complain too much. I think that's me for just now then. Thank you very much for listening. If you do have any questions or comments, feel free to get in touch on Twitter or Facebook at OfficialNAF, and you can email officialnaf@gmail.com. Do keep an eye on the various outlets of social media as we got tournament reports and all sorts appearing as the year progresses. Probably starting with the team challenge, which is being held, the UK team challenge, which is being held in York this weekend, and should be a great big Blood Bowl party to kick off the year with teams from France, from Germany, and from all over the UK as well. Until next time, enjoy your Blood Bowl.